is Friday, May 6th, 2016. And today on All Together Now, we'll tune into interviews with Director of Artistic Initiatives Dan Herlin and Community Relations Manager Chris Bolin from the American Dance Institute. Both talk with Matt Tombers, head of the May 7th American Dance Institute groundbreaking in Catskill. That's at noon Saturday in Catskill, and WJXC will also air a one-hour special on the American Dance Institute at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 7th. Also on this show, Chris Gibson talks about rural broadband in Columbia County. We'll hear weather updates, local events, and the song of the day comes from John Hyatt, who's performing in Great Barrington tonight.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, May the 6th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Michael Ryan is reporting in the Windham Journal that the town of Prattsville is seeking a fresh water source and has hired a hydrologist to lead the search. The town recently retained the services of Hanson Van Velt, LLC of Clifton Park. The firm will be paid $14,000 to identify target areas, evaluate existing water quality issues, and to assist in recruiting a driller if a new well location is found. Work on the three-phase project will begin this week. In other water-related news, Gail Heinzen is reporting in the Chatham Courier that Chatham officials recently had the water there tested for PFOA, the toxic substance found in the water of two local communities. According to Town Supervisor Maria Lowe, the water in Chatham is tested regularly, but not for PFOA. The town board in March authorized the special testing. Samples taken at Crellin Park, Town Hall, and the Highway Department all came back negative. PFOA is used in the process of making Teflon. It was found in the water in Hoosick Falls and Petersburg, both communities located in Rensselaer County, earlier this year. Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting in the Register Star that U.S. Senator Charles Schumer pledged his support this week for a federal grant to connect sections of the Harlem Valley Rail Trail. The trail is a walking and cycling path that stretches from Wasik in Dutchess County to Hillsdale. The Harlem Valley Rail Trail Association and Dutchess County have applied for $7.5 million of U.S. Department of Transportation Tiger grants for the project. The grant would allow the completion of the trail between Millerton and Ankrum and create a tunnel crossing of Route 22, plus allow for the construction of three pedestrian bridges connecting the Kopek and Hillsdale sections of the trail. Garrick Dardani, the owner of Steiner Sports, said many people are looking to cycle on trails instead of roads. The Kopek Falls section of the trail is already popular, Dardani said. He said connecting the parts of the trail would be a boon for cycling and, quote, absolutely, end quote, be good for business. You can read the full story in the Register Star. Casey Sealer is reporting at Capital Confidential that the State Appellate Division's Third Department on Thursday, May the 5th, upheld a lower court decision to dismiss a 2013 lawsuit filed by the New York State United Teachers Union against the 2011 law that established the state's 2% flexible tax cap. The union claimed the law was unconstitutional and was damaging to the public education system. In its 12-page opinion, the court knocked down the lawsuit's equal protection claims. It noted the state is required to provide the opportunity of a sound basic education, not the same level of services for every school district. Union spokesman Carl Korn said that while the union was still reviewing the decision, the plaintiffs are very likely to take the case to the State Court of Appeals. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Michael Ryan in the Wyndham Journal reports about a nasty dispute between members of the Wyndham Planning Board by local development partners David Shalowski and Paul Hennessy. Shalowski and Hennessy spoke out at a town board meeting last week about multiple projects already implemented or proposed for their property at the former police anchor camp along Route 23, where they have installed home heating oil and kerosene storage tanks and are proposing the construction of a 3,200 square foot equipment storage building with diesel fuel tanks and three concrete refueling pads for tractor trailers and smaller commercial vehicles. Shalowski said in an interview, and I quote, "I have filed a formal complaint with the town board about this project. Town Supervisor Robert Pelham told me I was going to get my public hearing, but that's not the point. I should be getting a public hearing because I'm doing things properly and going through the proper channels, which I'm doing, not because the planning board arbitrarily says it's okay," end quote. Planning Board Chairwoman Maureen Ann Chancellin in a statement wrote, and I quote, "I am shocked and offended that my character and integrity are being attacked. I take this very seriously as I do my position as chair. I follow the laws and regulations very strictly and I will continue to do so," end quote. A public hearing will be held on May 5th in Wyndham about the proposal. You can read that full story in the Wyndham Journal. And for our final story, Diane Valden at the Columbia paper reports that on May the 4th, Salvatore Cascino was let out of jail early after convincing a judge he was cleaning up his act. Valden writes, and I quote, "Mr. Cascino, a convicted felon and perennial scofflaw, owns a 300-acre property along the east side of Route 22 in Copec. He calls the place Copec Valley Farm, and for nearly two decades, he has been racking up violations of federal, state, and town laws for illegal dumping, building, and excavating there," end quote. Cascino returns to court to report on his actions on June the 6th, July 18th, and August 8th. Cascino spent 69 days in the Columbia County Jail after being found guilty of criminal and civil contempt by acting Supreme Court Judge Jonathan Nichols. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. All Together Now listens for feedback from the public. Anyone who wants to leave a public comment can call 518-291-9492 and leave an audio message up to 3 minutes with any sort of opinion about something you heard on All Together Now. You can also send emails to info@wgxc.org with opinions about what you hear here.
The clouds and rain will persist throughout the WGXC listening area this weekend. Scattered showers Saturday, but the sun might pop out too. There's only a 30% chance of rain. The high near 59. The showers are more likely Saturday night, below around 45. Sunday, the showers are likely before 8 a.m. Then it should be partly sunny with a high near 54 and a low around 39. And Monday should be mostly sunny with a high near 60.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
May 5th on All Together Now on WGXC, Congressman Chris Gibson, Republican from Kinderhook, said he was disappointed in the expansion of rural broadband in the WGXC listening area. The retiring congressman explained to the Columbia paper's Perry Teasdale what he's been working on in Columbia County on the issue.
Columbia County, we are trying hard to build out in our county, and yet only 4% of the county was eligible for the state money. So what we did here is we held a meeting and we brought in experts of a federal program called E-Rate. E-Rate is a subsidy program for schools and libraries and public safety entities.
Right.
And so, and myself and
that's been around for a while.
Yes, yeah. But we've actually improved it. Jared Polis and I, he's a Democratic member from Colorado. We wrote to the FCC, very pleased. Again, Mr. Wheeler has been pretty responsive. When I've written to him, I've always get a response, and he always listens and thinks through. And so he actually changed the rules for E-rate, and now we can actually get a better reimbursement here. Mm-hmm. And so that's a strategy that we're going to use to build out the backbone, if you will, for Columbia County.
And is it going to be stringing copper wires or going to be over the air?
No, it's fiber.
It's fiber. So it's still one technology that we're looking at, not a mix of technologies?
We're doing with E-rate is fiber. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're in the marketplace, there is variegation. Because a lot of our constituents here in Columbia County, of course, have Fairpoint. Fairpoint is going over copper wire, the DSL, and those that some have Time Warner, and they do have the fiber in some cases. And then, of course, Verizon has lately been moving to the 4G. They've been going to the wireless. So it is variegated in the marketplace, but as far as what the federal program, we're still trying to lay out fiber. I believe that when you look at all factors, including how temperamental that DSL is, and even 4G can be, particularly given some of our August days and what it looks like with bringing thunderstorms on and everything else. And we have benefited. If you look at Columbia County, I mean, the things that we are generally really strong at are agriculture and tourism. And what we also have seen is we've seen a growth. Look, we're talking in Hudson here, and you look at Warren Street, and you see how much antiques have made a comeback. And so we have a fair number of folks who have moved up here, at least part-time, from New York City. And this is an issue. We can actually get more growth in the county, and the growth that the kind that we like, more investment in the county, if we can get more broadband.
Rural Intelligence, the blog that covers Dutchess, Litchfield, and Columbia counties, has now launched three local apps for specific information about each county. Previously, Rural Intelligence started an app for the Berkshires. You can find these at the App Store and Google Play. Ariel Zangla in the Daily Freeman reports that on May 3rd, the Kingston Common Council voted 8-0 for a resolution supporting legislation by State Assemblyman Frank Scartados, Democrat from Milton, that would prohibit the proposed Pilgrim Pipeline from being constructed on New York Thruway Authority property. Currently, the pipeline is proposed to run largely along I-87 from Albany into New Jersey, so the bill introduced in April would kill the project. Pilgrim Pipeline Holdings LLC would build two parallel pipelines, connecting Albany with Linden, New Jersey, and carrying 200,000 gallons of Bakken crude oil per day from Albany, as well as refined fuel products from New Jersey along 95 miles of the Thruway's right-of-way and 25 miles of private property. Kingston is the first town to adopt this resolution, but towns up and down the proposed path have passed several other resolutions opposed to the project. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Our first dance interview today comes from Community Relations Manager Chris Boland, speaks with Matt Tombers ahead of the May 7th American Dance Institute groundbreaking in Catskill.
Well, hello, this is Matt Tombers for WGXC, and I'm here today with the American Dance Institute's Chris Boland, who is the Community Relations Manager for the organization, and they are going to be coming to
Catskill, New York, very soon, May 2018. We're looking to open our doors, so we're very, very excited.
Yes, but something's happening before then.
Something big is happening before then.
Very soon.
Thank you, Matt. We're having a major groundbreaking event on Saturday, May 7th, at our location in Catskill, 62 Water Street, just off of Main, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. And we are going to have, it's an open, free community event. We're going to have a beer garden courtesy of Crossroads Brewing Company. We're going to have a live band. The Wyos are going to be playing. Food trucks. We have things for kids. We're going to have a petting zoo. We're going to have face painters. We're going to have magicians. We've got thousands of dollars of raffle prizes to give away. Some really great gifts. Everything from tickets to Broadway shows, backstage tours, dinners, gift certificates to some great shops in Catskill and Hudson, gift baskets, you name it. So it's going to be a really, really great day, and we're really hoping a lot of people come and check it out.
Oh, that's good. So you don't need to RSVP. You don't need to do anything. All you have to do is show up.
Well, you can just absolutely show up. Totally free. Just show up. However, if you would like to RSVP, you can go to our site, www.americandance.org. And you can, if you RSVP, you get a free raffle ticket. Okay. So that's kind of a little bit of an incentive to RSVP. But otherwise, if you just don't want to do that, it's free. Come on by, stop by, check us out. Yeah, 12 to 3 p.m. on Saturday.
12 to 3 p.m.
Saturday, May 7th.
What brings you to Catskill, of all places on earth? Because you're currently in Rockville, Maryland.
We are, you know, and we've been there for quite some time. You know, I guess the short answer is money. It's very DC metro area. It's very expensive to keep operating and to continue what we want to do and build upon what we've established. It was time for a move. So we started looking. We basically drew a circle around New York City within a 2-hour radius. We wanted to be close to New York. We wanted to be close to an airport. So we followed the Amtrak line. And, you know, there's a thriving arts community up here in Hudson. Mm-hmm. And in Greene County and Columbia County, it's just a hubbub of activity. So we came here and we started looking for a space here in Hudson, and we didn't find any buildings that would, you know, really fit our needs. And we were told to go over to Catskill. Mm-hmm. And that there was this lumber yard to look at. So we said, fine, and we went to check it out. And the moment we walked into this garage, we saw the possibilities. I mean, that's where we're going to make our theater. And we were all very, very excited. So we went with it, and we're moving up here, and we're very excited to do it. So, you know, we're planning on opening our doors May 2018. We've got some work to do. This groundbreaking event is our kind of launch off, but we're very excited to be up here.
Okay. Well, before I heard that you were moving up here, I didn't know much about American Dance Institute. Could you fill us in a little bit about the history of the organization?
Yeah, so we are a performing arts center for contemporary dance and a residence site for artists. So what that means is that we will be presenting shows up here in Catskill. Shows that are premiering here, which is very exciting. And that means people in Catskill in the area, you know, Greene County, Columbia County, surrounding areas, will be able to see shows in Catskill first before they're presented anywhere else in the country. So before they go to New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, wherever, they will be presented here, which I think is very, very exciting. And then our residency program, our residency site for these artists, it's very important to us. We house the artists, we feed the artists, we give them full access to our new state-of-the-art theater, full technical resources that they may need, so they can just focus on what they are here to do, create new work. So, you know, out of that, you know, you will see very innovative, groundbreaking new work that is very exciting. So we're very, very happy to be here and have this facility that we're able to do that.
Good. There's some wonderful testimonials on YouTube from artists who have gone through the program in Rockville, Maryland, where you currently are, saying how important the support of ADI has been in getting their works created. One of the things that I think is fascinating is you and I both come from a theater background.
Correct.
And there aren't any residency programs that I know of for dancers.
You know, I'm relatively new to the contemporary dance field, but from what I know, opportunities like this are very rare. And we are trying to address a very critical issue in professional contemporary dance. And what that is that these performers, these artists, don't have enough time in the theater to fully realize their artistic vision. You know, so we are giving them an opportunity to work technically, you know, integrate design elements into their shows in advance of these premieres, which is so important and not offered to them typically. So we're very proud of being able to do that for them. And I'm glad to hear that that the artists are happy. I mean, I'm a fellow artist. I'm in a different field, but I think it's an amazing opportunity. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Right. As I was prepping to sit down with you this morning, I was going through the website, and there are on your website some embeds of YouTube videos with the artists talking about it. Tell me, what kind of artists does ADI attract? Or let me put it a little differently, because this is also from your website, is that ADI, the American Dance Institute, curates artists, not projects.
Right.
And I found that to be absolutely fascinating.
We are artist-driven. We want to support the artists, nurture the artists, give them all the opportunities they need to create their new works and fulfill their artistic vision. So, you know, you asked what type of artists you're going to see, what type of shows you're going to see at ADI. It's contemporary dance is a very welcoming art form. It's not as structured. It's very collaborative. So you're typically not going to see just dancers dancing on stage to music. You may see that, you know, once in a while, but that's not typically what you're going to see. You know, people, when they think of dance or contemporary dance, I think they think of, you know, Dancing with the Stars or, you know, those shows.
Yes.
They dub it over, and people think tap, jazz, ballet. Contemporary dance is very collaborative, and so you know, you'll see shows that involve visual artists, actors, puppetry, text, musicians, you know, so it's very collaborative, very, very unique and very exciting. So, you know, it's a little bit outside the box. And for me, being, again, relatively new to the contemporary dance field, having seen some of the shows that I've seen, I find it very exciting. And it's very new, and yeah, it's going to be very, very, very diverse, and we're very excited to present it to be presenting it upstate here.
Okay, good. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about, you're calling it ADI Lumberyard?
Correct.
Tell me more about the space.
So we decided we're making a big move up here, and it was time for a name change, and through some research that we had done on the actual area that we're moving into, the lumberyard, we went back historically and we found that it's been a lumberyard for a very long time, dating back into the 19th century. There was an old railroad that went through there. It was a lumberyard. There were steamboats. So it's a very historical part of Catskill. And so we're searching for a name, and lumberyard just made sense. It is a lumberyard. It was a lumberyard. And now it will be a lumberyard again in a very different capacity. So that's where the name came from. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's great.
So what will the space be like?
So, yeah, we've got, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of work, a lot of renovations, maintaining and keeping some of the, you know, some of what's already there. We have our main building that's going to be where the theater is. And I can't tell you how excited we are about this space. It's going to be a very state-of-the-art black box theater that can be outfitted in an array of capacities. I think it, 150 people to about 300 people is what it can fit.
Okay.
Very versatile. We're going to be lifting
the
roof.
Very intimate.
Yeah, it's very nice and very versatile, which is very important because, you know, the artists can come in and kind of do with it what they want. If we want to replicate BAM, for instance, or the kitchen or wherever they're going, we will have the ability to do that, which is very exciting. We're lifting the roof, raising the roof so that we can potentially hang things. So it's going to be a fantastic theater. It's one of the larger black boxes that I have ever seen. So I'm very excited about that. And then in that same building, we're going to house the artists.
Okay.
We have apartments for them. We're going to have a commercial kitchen that we will be cooking for them. We'll have a beautiful lobby. So, warm-up room. And so that building is going to be, it's going to be great. And then we have some buildings on the creek where our offices will be located, and a beautiful dance studio that's going to open right up onto the creek.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, that's great.
So when the artists are rehearsing, they can open up to nature and really, come on, you don't have that in New York. So.
No, absolutely not. And glass walls?
Well, there's windows, but it'll just open right up. It literally opens up onto the creek, which is just fantastic. And so that will be a dance studio for them. I mean, talk about inspiring creativity. And then our offices will be located in there. And then we have one more building that we want to turn into a commercial building, into some sort of restaurant or distillery. So, you know, we're really trying to revitalize the waterfront mm-hmm. because we are right on the waterfront. It's a very important area. As we move forward beyond our phase one, our theater is the most important,
yes.
you know, our crucial matter right now. But as we move forward, we'd like to start adding a ferry dock and get ferry service and just really mm-hmm. revitalize that waterfront. So we're very excited by all the possibilities that that lie ahead for us.
Yeah, Catskill, and I live in Claverick, so I don't often go across the river, and I've been over there a few times lately. Recently, and have realized Catskill is really going through a little bit of a boom, which is very exciting. It sounds like you'll contribute a great deal to that.
Yeah, so I agree, and I hope so. And, you know, I've been spending a lot of time in Catskill. I'm kind of the guy with boots on the ground, so I've been meeting city officials and merchants and citizens and walking up and down Main Street, and you can't help but feel this sense of energy and the sense of pride, there's just this kindling that's just ripe for a spark, and they're just primed for it. So we do feel that Catskill is on the brink of this renaissance, that it's mm-hmm. going to come into its own. There's so many artists up there, so many interesting things, so many great shops on Main Street, restaurants opening up. Bridge Street Theater is mm-hmm. just across the bridge from us. You know, so we're very excited. Everyone's been extremely supportive, very welcoming, very nice. And so we are very excited to be part of that community.
Okay, good. Will you, and this is just a curiosity question, will you be performing all the time? Or will other companies come in and use the space for other kinds of performances?
So our season is scheduled right now to open Memorial Day, and it will go into Labor Day. And so in that time, we'll have approximately 12 to 15 artists. So that's going to be our season. You know, as we move forward and as, you know, we get a better feel of how things are going, that could change. But right now, Memorial Day to Labor Day. Now, when we aren't, when our season is not happening, we've got this beautiful facility. So we're discussing a number of options, whether it be renting it out to some, you know, Broadway shows that can come and use the space for technical rehearsals or whatnot. But we've got this beautiful theater that we're hoping to rent out when we are not operating with our season. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very exciting to have dance as part of the fabric of the Greene County, Columbia County, WGXC listening area. To have that kind of performance art here is just spectacular.
Yeah, and the really great thing too is that we're all different. We all support each other, and you know, Basilica and us, and you know, everyone in the area who's involved in the arts, theaters and other dance companies. We're all different, so we're not in direct competition, which is great. But we can all help each other. And I think it's going to really, this whole area, I think is very, very exciting. I mean, I know a lot of people in New York City who are moving up here mm-hmm. on artists. And I know a lot of, they're very excited by everything that's going on up here. So we're very optimistic about the next 5 to 10 years up here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for dropping by the studio today to have a chat with me. Again, this is Matt Tombers for WGXC, and I've been talking with Chris Bolin of the American Dance Institute, and that's www.americandance.org. Go there, RSVP, and get a raffle ticket for their event on May 7th, starting at noon, going till 3 p.m.
Correct. Please come by. It's going to be a great, great day. We've got so much to offer. We really want as many people there as possible, and you can meet us. You can walk around the site. You can see what it's going to be before it transforms into the state of the art facility. So, you know, things for kids, again, the beer garden, food trucks, live music, raffles. It's going to be a very, very exciting day. We as many people as possible that can come check us out. We would love it.
Bring your phone so you can take the pictures, so you can have the before and after pictures of ADI Lumberyard.
It's going to be a big change.
All right.
Exciting.
Take care. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Take care.
All together now.
See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on All Together Now.
All together now, let's fall apart.
Next, we hear more from the American Dance Institute. This time, the American Dance Institute's Director of Artistic Initiatives, Dan Herlin, who speaks to WGXC's Matt Tombers ahead of the May 7th ADI groundbreaking in Catskill.
It's Matt Tombers again, and we're here with Dan Herlin, who is the Director of Artistic Initiatives for the American Dance Institute, which is going to be having a great festive event in Catskill down on Water Street. And earlier, Chris Bowen, who is the community relations manager, told us a lot about the event, but I don't know a lot about the American Dance Institute and some of its programs that it has. And I would love for you to share with us, Dan, if you would, your programs and the kinds of things that you do with American Dance Institute and what we can look forward to over in Catskill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a number of different programs, but primarily the main sort of centerpiece of what we do is present contemporary dance and present it in a way that is it's a lot better for the choreographers. Normally what happens in the dance world is a choreographer will be sort of booked into a theater and they'll load into the theater on Monday. They'll do their dress rehearsal and tech rehearsal on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday they do a show. And very often what that means is that they are unable to incorporate a lot of technology into the show that they are doing. They can't do, you know, projections. A lot of people are interested in projections or even special effects or not even sets. You know, they don't have enough time to actually incorporate the set into what they're doing. Mm. What we do at American Dance Institute is we give them a week-long residency in the theater with the full tech crew with 24-hour access to the theater so that they can have a chance to incorporate all of these other elements just in advance of a premiere. And sometimes we will provide the premiere. We'll be doing a number of world premieres here in Catskill.
That's wonderful. Now, one of the things that Chris did tell us about was that the artists are actually going to be having facilities to live, eat, breathe, do everything right there at the Lumberyard. And I think that's amazing.
That's right. The plans are for, I can't remember offhand now how many, but I think it's about a dozen bedrooms that mm-hmm. will each be able to be, will sleep two when needed. So that they really don't have to go off site. And and food will be provided. So they really can focus on the work. They don't have to sort of go out and grocery shop and worry about who's going to cook dinner. It's going to be provided for them, so they really can focus on the work.
It sounds like a little bit of dancer's heaven.
I think it is.
Yes. Now, what I would love to know is you've got this wonderful title, Director of Artistic Initiatives, mm-hmm. and I'd love to know what you do as Director of Artistic Initiatives.
My job is pretty much to kind of research in the dance world and to look at the field in general and to kind of identify what I think of as deficits or problems, things that are not happening that should be happening in the dance world to help support choreography and new choreography. And then, so doing research, I'll do research in the field to try to locate these problems. And then with a number of other people, we'll sort of begin to think about developing programs that address that problem.
Can you give me an example of that?
Well, this the idea of having this week-long residency came out of just that kind of research. We began to realize that that was really a major, major problem that was facing a lot of choreographers. It was also, it was also impacting the ecosystem as a whole, because a lot of theaters that back in my day used to insist on having a premiere no longer wanted premieres because the pieces weren't ready, and they weren't ready because no one could provide them with the tech time.
And so now you're going to provide them with the tech time, mm-hmm. and with the premieres.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that way they can go straight from Catskill to BAM or to NYLA or to wherever they're
going
to go.
Okay, good. What are some of the other things that we should know about American Dance Institute? I know that you're moving from Rockville mm-hmm. up here, mm-hmm. That you will continue to have a presence in New York City for a while, for ongoing?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a number of seasons in New York because we want to be more in touch with that community than mm-hmm. we have been able to be in the D.C. area. We chose Catskill because it was close to New York, but it's far enough away so that you can really remove yourself from your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get back. Like designers in particular, sometimes they don't need to be there the whole week. So it's easy to get back and forth between New York and Catskill. And that was why, this location was just completely perfect for us.
Yeah. Now, how long have you personally been involved with ADI?
I think I came on really as a consultant, really early on, and I think I've been on board as the Director of Artistic Initiatives now for 3 years.
Okay. How long has ADI been in existence?
Well, ADI had a life before it has the life now. It was originally a school. And then for a number of reasons, the people who were running the school decided that they wanted something more impactful. They wanted mm-hmm. something that could be seen, that would have a national presence, that would really make a difference. And so they hired Adrian Willis to direct the school, or to direct ADI. And then she's really the one who developed the performance series and this residency program that we have that we call the incubator. Mm-hmm. She's the one really at the helm of all of this. And she came on about 5 years ago.
Okay. And what are some of the other programs, or are there other programs at ADI that we should be aware of?
There are some that are in development at the moment.
Okay.
There's a program we're looking at, something that we're tentatively calling the Launch Pad. We're looking at providing residency time for choreographers and dance companies. Once the piece has premiered, then they sometimes need to make adaptations for touring, so that they can actually just put it in on a Monday and a Tuesday.
Okay.
And that sometimes means simplifying things. It sometimes means thinking ahead. It sometimes means budget, budget things that we can help them with. So we're thinking about mm-hmm. as a new program. We're thinking about a program to address writing about dance and critical response to dance. So those are some of the things that we're thinking about right now.
Oh, great. Again, it sounds like a heavenly proposition for performers.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to slip in a little bit of a plug here. Between the time I talked with Chris and the time I'm talking with you, I've gone online to www.americandance.org
mm-hmm.
and RSVP'd for Saturday afternoon. So I'm wanting to have all our listeners go on, because if you RSVP, you actually get a free raffle ticket.
That's right.
And I've got mine. And so I really recommend that. Dan, there's a couple of other things I'd love to chat with you about. You have a fascinating history yourself as a performer.
Uh-huh.
And could you tell our audience a little bit about some of the things you've done? Because it's a wonderful melange of performance arts.
Well, I was trained in both theater and incidentally, actually, one of the first things that I did at ADI was I came in as an artist. So I've actually had the experience of having that week long residency period leading up to a performance, and let me tell you, it is like there's nothing else like it in the world. It's fantastic.
That's great.
But in my own career, I was trained in dance. I was trained in theater. I'm now in addition to being the director of artistic initiatives at ADI, I'm also the director of the graduate program in theater at Sarah Lawrence College. I've always been personally a little bit suspicious of the the firewall between the different performance and artistic disciplines. Mm-hmm. You know, there's dance and there's theater and there's painting and there's music. And I've always been kind of fluid about it. Mm-hmm. So lately I have been making puppet work. And I think of puppetry as being dance with objects because mm-hmm. both forms primarily use movement as their means of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing puppetry now mostly.
Now, have you done any puppetry with ADI?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, tell us a little bit about it. Well, I'm fascinated.
They presented a piece of mine called... it was actually...
And it was your piece.
Yeah. It was called... What was it called? Double Aspect. Double Aspect, Bright and Fair, which was... it was actually a play written by a wonderful playwright named Eric N., It was one of a cycle of 17 plays. He spent a lot of time in Rwanda working with the survivors of the genocides there, and so wrote these 17 plays in response to it. And each one of the 17 plays was directed by a different director and premiered in a different city. And Eric asked me if I would do one, and so I did. And we worked at it on it at ADI in Rockville.
Okay. That's like, I can only imagine what that must have been like as a performance piece.
It was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
I would love to do this. And I found out just before we walked into the studio that you also have a home here.
I do, yeah. I live in Stuyvesant.
Yeah. How long have you been up here?
About 15 years.
Yeah, okay.
13 to 15 years.
Yeah. That's about as long as I've been up here, too. What else should we know about ADI? I know that we had a conversation last week with Adrian, who's the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've got a big thing happening this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And what else should we know about American Dance Institute?
When I think about it, ADI moving to the Lumberyard in Catskill, what I get excited about is thinking that I think that because of the Lumberyard and because of the presence, because of our presence, Catskill is going to eventually become kind of ground zero for contemporary dance in this country. And
wow.
I think that that's, you know, I don't think that's an overstatement. I think it's going to be just going to be really, really exciting for Catskill and for audiences in Catskill and Hudson and the surrounding area to mm-hmm. have access to the kind of work that we do.
I know I'm looking forward to it because the kind of space that the Lumberyard is going to have, which is, as I understand it, is going to be very fluid and flexible and
mm-hmm.
malleable,
mm-hmm.
is having once studied theater myself, though not practice it for a long time, it's just an exciting kind of space for a performer to work in and for an audience to witness the performer's work.
Yeah, and what's really great about the design of the theater is that it's completely flexible so that if you wanted to be doing something or if you were going to be performing in the round, we can set that up for you. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be in a proscenium orientation, we can set that up for you. If you're going to be like a tennis court, or even if you're going to be like doing a walkthrough, an environment, we can mm-hmm. provide all of that because the space is large enough and convertible enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been spending a lot of time over at the lumberyard as they've been planning it and working on it?
And I wouldn't say a lot, but enough, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of decision-making that's been having to go on, you know, thinking about, like, which wall is going to come down, where, how many bedrooms, how can we squeeze in another bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on, and so we've been, you know, I've been there a fair amount.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you that talking to some residents in Catskill over the last few weeks, I know there is great enthusiasm and excitement about ADI coming into Catskill.
Mm-hmm.
Because as some people who own a store over in Catskill said to me, we're just really excited because we think it's going to add a whole new level of vibrancy to the town.
We really hope so.
National headlines from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, May 6, 2016. I'm Mark Richardson. Our daily news rundown includes House Speaker Paul Ryan, who says he's not quite ready to endorse Donald Trump for president. It's Mother's Day this weekend, but it could be a sad day for moms with kids in jail. And do you know how much time you spend online every day? The people at Facebook know. Topping our news, after years of debate over the health risks of electronic cigarettes, the federal government has decided they need to be regulated and kept out of the hands of children. The Food and Drug Administration issued new rules this week that for the first time extend federal regulations to e-cigarettes, banning their sale to anyone under 18 and requiring that adults under the age of 26 show a photo ID to buy them. There's a lot more in the almost 500 pages of rules issued by the agency. Meanwhile, in California, Governor Jerry Brown has signed legislation making it the second state in the nation to raise the smoking age to 21. The state will also begin regulating electronic cigarettes like other tobacco products. The legislation was passed overwhelmingly by the Democratic-controlled legislature over the objections of the tobacco industry. Hawaii is the only other state that has raised the smoking age. House Speaker Paul Ryan, the nation's highest-ranking Republican office holder, says he can't support his party's presumptive presidential nominee, Donald Trump, until he changes his tone and demonstrates that he shares the party's values. Asked by CNN if he backs Trump, Ryan said, quote, I'm just not ready to do that at this point. I'm not there right now. Many families will celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, but as Brandon Campbell reports, thousands of moms will be feeling the pain of separation instead because a child is behind bars.
As families celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, a new report says thousands will be feeling the pain of separation instead because a child's behind bars. The Mothers at the Gate report from the Institute for Policy Studies details how some family members are challenging the juvenile justice system to make changes. Jennifer Volenkatz heads the John Howard Association, an Illinois juvenile prison reform group. She says the state has made positive recent steps to reduce the youth prison population, but more can be done.
To keep kids from coming into the system initially, or to limit their contact with the system by diverting them to probation and to programs like Redeploy Illinois, which has been enormously successful in keeping kids out of detention.
But Illinois' ongoing budget impasse has led to funding cuts for the Redeploy program. Juvenile justice advocates argue if funding's not restored, it could lead to more kids being locked up.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has ruled that its own staff analysis of the cost of a serious accident at the Indian Point nuclear plant is inaccurate. The commission says the analysis by the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board contains factual errors that could be misleading. Cliff Weathers with the environmental group Riverkeeper believes the ruling will bolster the arguments of those opposed to the aging facility.
A new analysis, and an honest analysis, if it's done that way, will show that this plant is not safe, it's not secure, and also not vital for the area.
The original 40-year licenses for both reactors at Indian Point have expired, and the owners have applied to the NRC for 20-year extensions. Governor Andrew Cuomo is calling for the aging facility to be closed. The most recent campaign fundraising totals are in on a new universal health care initiative in Colorado, and most of the money opposing it is coming from out of state. Eric Galatas has more.
Despite the grassroots-sounding name, Coloradans for Coloradans, the group formed to defeat a universal health care ballot initiative, received more than 99% of its money from corporations in the first quarter of the year. By contrast, Colorado Care, a group pushing the measure, got 99% of its contributions from individuals. Senator Irene Aguilar, one of Amendment 69's chief architects, says most of the money raised by the opposition has come from health insurance companies.
Most of these groups who are funding this make incredible profit off of our healthcare system. Even these dollars they're contributing to the campaign are everyday people's insurance premiums.
Coloradans for Coloradans collected $500,000 from Ohio-based Anthem, Colorado's largest health insurance provider, $75,000 from the dialysis company DaVita, and an additional $65,000 from insurers Cigna and Delta Dental. If passed, Amendment 69 would eliminate insurance premiums, deductibles, and copays.
In Ohio, lawmakers are considering legislation that would allow survivors of domestic violence and other personal crimes to list a confidential address in public records. Supporters say it would allow victims to shield their real address, which, Nancy Nalen with the Ohio Domestic Violence Network says, would potentially protect them from being stalked or harassed.
Well, this is for that group of survivors who, in particular, feel a very reasonable but very real continued fear from their perpetrators after they've left the situation, and their perpetrators have continued to stalk them, harass them, threaten them, even perhaps hurt them in some other way.
According to the Secretary of State's office, there are more than 60,000 victims of domestic violence in Ohio each year. So here's some food for thought. The folks at Facebook say its average user spends about 50 minutes on its application every day. The New York Times reports that's more than any other leisure activity surveyed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, with the exception of watching television and movies. It's more time than people spend reading, participating in sports or exercise, or at social events. It's almost as much time as the hour people spend every day eating and drinking. You'd think the folks at Facebook would be happy that people are spending all that time on their app, but really, they're not. They say there's another 23 hours or so in each day they still have to get your attention. And that's the news. I'm Mark Richardson for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
The clouds and rain will persist throughout the WGXC listening area this weekend. Scattered showers Saturday, but the sun might pop out too. There's only a 30% chance of rain. The high near 59. The showers are more likely Saturday night, below around 45. Sunday, the showers are likely before 8 a.m. Then it should be partly sunny with a high near 54 and a low around 39. And Monday should be mostly sunny with a high near 60. This is Tomer with the WGXC Community Calendar, surveying events in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. We ask listeners to contribute their own events. Just go to the WGXC calendar at WGXC.org, and you can copy and paste the information about your event, and soon folks like me will read it on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org in the Community Calendar. Events for Saturday, May 7th in the WGXC listening area. Coxsackie has a cleanup from 9 a.m. to noon at the Coxsackie Riverside Park. Bring gloves and garden tools, rakes and pruners. Basilica hosts its farm and flea spring market at the Basilica Hudson Saturday, May 7th and Sunday, May 8th, with farmers, collectors, artisans, and more selling wares at the Basilica Hudson this weekend. There's a cleanup at the Middle Ground Flats along the Hudson waterfront. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., organized by the Hudson Sloop Club. The Hudson Children's Book Festival is Saturday, May 7th. That's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hudson High School. Rip Van Winkle Wine and Cheese Festivals on the other side of the Hudson River from noon to 5 p.m. at the Catskill Point. The American Dance Institute has its groundbreaking May 7th in Catskill, the former Dunn's Building Supply building along Catskill Creek. In Greenville, the Big Eye Gallery has an opening for its barn show with James Coe, Judith Warren, Deanna Schrell, Beth Schneck, and others. The show runs through May 31st. Phil Gutierrez and Bob Stern perform Saturday, May 7th at Opus 40 from 3 p.m. to 5. On violin and guitar, the 6th Annual Troy Bike Rescue Bike Fest is at the Sanctuary for Independent Media at 5 p.m. Saturday, May 7th. And the Here and Now Jazz Quintet performs at Gallagher's 5th Annual George B. O'Neill Tribute Concert. That's at 7:30 p.m. in Cairo at Gallagher's Saturday, May 7th. You can read more information about all these events at the WGXC Community Calendar online at wgxc.org.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
And John Hyatt's performing at the Moai Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington on Friday, May 6th. The Song of the Day is from John Hyatt. This is Pirate Radio, from John Hyatt on WGXC.